This is the Jerry Doyle Show.
We are discussing America's working moms, now the primary breadwinners in a record 40% of households with children. That number was 11% in 1960. In the surveys, the polling that they did on this subject, 79% of Americans reject the notion that women should return to their traditional roles. Now, I guess traditional roles would be subjective based upon what you knew your mom to be doing at the time you were a ute, if you remember the movie My Cousin Vinny. My traditional role for a mom when I grew up was dad was a cop, mom was a stay-at-home mom. We had 2 weeks vacation in the summer, 1 week in Florida with the grandparents. And mom was always home. Dad was the one who went to work. And somehow they seemed to make it work. So that would be, I guess, what I would consider to be the traditional role of women. Does that work today? Not for everybody. It's what I know. It's what I'm comfortable with. But in this economy, things are much different. But it's not just about working women. It's also about social policy with regard to child care and time off and paid leave and who's going to pay to raise the kids. And there's the economics of married women versus single moms. $80,000 is the median family income for married couples. $23,000 is the median income for single moms. How does a single mom raise kids on $23,000 a year? Is that where the government rides to the rescue? Joining us on the program, Anita Findlay. She's an author, actress, blogger. Her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin. Anita, welcome back.
Hi, Jerry. Great to be with you. How are you?
I'm good. I look at these numbers, and 21% of the people say that mothers, working moms of young children working outside the home, isn't good for society. 21% say it's good for society. The rest say it's not. So I'm looking at these numbers and I'm going, is this the woman's time? Is this a reflection of the woman's movement? Is this a reflection of the economy? Is this a reflection of men today that are not as relevant or useful to a woman with regard to having a child? There's a lot more here than just the statistic of 40% of moms are breadwinner moms in America.
Look, there's so much that has changed, as you mentioned, in the current economy. So many times, even if you have a two-parent family, you know, people are not able to make a living on one income. As I've mentioned to you before, I came from an unusual circumstance in the 60s in that my mom was a sole breadwinner taking care of a sick husband and two girls. So my world was very different from the beginning. I started working as a teenager. I started college at 16, worked my way through, and I've never stopped. And that was a couple of years ago. I've been doing this for a while. So you know what? My dogs is barking. I get tired too. But the fact is, working has always been an economic necessity for me. So I think there's so much to unpack here in terms of what the economy is and has our government, has the way that we do things caught up with the changing family. And in terms of what people think, well, women should be doing this or women shouldn't be doing that, it's nice to, you know, take a poll and see what people think. But there are just some times when it's not even possible to live that way. I know a woman who was married with three kids and her husband dropped dead of a massive heart attack at 42. She can't just pitch a pup tent in the woods and hope for the best. She's an attorney, and she has to keep the roof over her kids' heads and teach them to thrive and to pursue their education and so on. So I think that whatever model people are operating on, you know, the June Cleaver model is right, sort of over with, not intentionally, but just for a number of economic reasons. And I read a fascinating article in The Economist a couple of weeks ago, and I'd love to know how you feel about this, too. They were talking about the advisability of a woman working outside the home when she's got a young child, when child care costs nearly as much as she's making, and when you lose right, the income tax credit and so on, and you factor in all of the taxes and so on, she's really breaking even. So what's right, the difference? Why not stay at home with your kid? But here was the interesting part of the argument. What they were talking about was the broken career pipeline. And we discussed this before, that the gender gap when people are in their 20s between male and female is approximately 10%, I think you said, at that time that men are earning more. But after 30, it goes up exponentially, and I think here's why. Anytime a woman takes even a year off, this shocked me when I read this, even a year off, maternity leave, and instead of, you know, being a working mom, that she winds up losing over 20% of earnings over a lifetime.
Right.
And if it's longer than that, the amount was 30%. That when women then try to go back into whatever their career was, that they find themselves at a tremendous economic disadvantage. So that you can't just look at, when you're looking at the cost-benefit analysis, you can't just look at, oh, dollar for dollar for the year that I'm taking off.
I looked at, and again, these are all things that I think are perhaps more important than the statistic in and of itself. Because there are going to be a lot of social policy implications with paid family leave, child care support, daycare, on-site daycare, food stamps. All of what the government is going to look at and say, well, because she's not at home raising the child, she's at work, regardless of whether it's a net benefit or it's a break even, somebody has to pay for the upkeep and the education and the child care of said child. And that's where I think the government rushes in to try and be Johnny be good without really understanding what the long-term social ramifications and the economic cost of wanting to be that absentee parent, so to speak. And you look at the marriage rates. Marriage rates are at record lows. 40% of births occur out of wedlock. Is it just that women, is it part of that feminist movement where I don't need a man, I can be the mother and the father? Or is it just that women are so turned off by men today with this wimpy, metrosexual, spineless kind of... And aren't guys today, they got no game?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I don't think anything... I don't think that has to do with anything. I think that, I don't think that women look at men as wimpy today. I don't buy into that. No, I really don't. I mean, anybody who looks at me is going to see an independent person. You know, when I met my husband, I said, oh my God, this guy's great. He's so cool with me being who I am and has such a great sense of humor and is a person of quality and a person of great character and integrity. That's what attracted me. I wasn't looking at packaging dollars and cents. I could give a crap, but maybe that's because I've been in the world for a while and I understood that what you're looking for in a marriage or in a partner, whether you're married or not, is somebody who you want in the trenches with you. And, you know, I'm so glad you brought this up, Jerry. I have to mention this on the air. I don't know if you caught this on Jay Leno, that he does this thing where he has this gas station camera and he sees these people, he gets them to sing karaoke. And there was this one black couple, Will and Manifa. They were so fabulous, he brought them on the show. These two people have been married 13 years. They have a 12-year-old daughter. They're both working. And what I thought was so great was they just looked so happy together. And I said, there you go. That's really the secret. You want somebody with a sense of humor. I don't really give a crap. Are you making more money than me? That doesn't emasculate you if you're making less. I mean, I think that we really are looking at a model that has to be changed from the top down and the bottom up. It's not just about government being big daddy riding to the rescue. I think that we have to look at the fact that our workforce, it's not only changing in terms of who's doing the jobs, but how the jobs are done. And isn't it possible, because so much more is accomplished in e-business today, isn't it possible to have more in terms of flexible schedules and work hours so that it becomes a little simpler for people to take care of their families? And the traditional model of you work 50 hours and the other one sits home, it's not realistic anymore. And does it have to be?
Right. I know people right now, Anita, are going, where are these men that she speaks of that are confident and supportive and understanding? No, I'm telling you, Anita, the women today, in what I read in emails, what I read in stories, what I see out and about, maybe it's Las Vegas where I live and it's a whole different universe compared to the rest of the country. But women complain today that the guys don't have game. They're not motivated to work. They don't want to pick up the bill for dinner. They can't afford to take them on a vacation. They don't open the door. They don't have a sense of humor. They spend more time in the mirror than the women do. They're looking at men today and just going, you know what? I can't depend on this guy. And I think that's a component of women that are taking it upon themselves to be the parent and to be the breadwinner and to be the head of household, because maybe it's not that they don't need men. It's just that they don't want the men that are available to them today.
Yeah, but if, let me ask you this, since you're a man, do you think that if a woman just sat down, because this is the Suzanne Venker argument, where she says, oh, women should surrender to their true femininity, and then the men would rise up and take responsibility. I mean, this seems silly to me. It's like, are you saying to me, you know, you're out there, do you think, what's with the guys then? Do you think if women behave differently, then men would behave differently?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. Now, I love a strong, opinionated woman. A lot of guys are intimidated by that. I find it sexy. I like a woman that has an opinion. I like a woman who shares the opinion. I like a woman who's willing to debate the conversation. That to me, but a lot of guys today don't want that. They just want the toy. They want the arm candy. They want the one-night romp. They're not looking to engage mentally and physically with a woman.
But you know something? This goes back to the societal discussion in terms of what we are fed. I mean, you know, as you know, I write so much about mainstream media and the effect that it has on us. And I really think that we have to look at what we are sold as a society every day. I think that has a lot to do with it, with the messages that we're given. You know, when you have reality TV with The Bachelorette and you've got everybody, you know, looking at the Twitterverse and this one saying, I can be a millionaire by the time I'm 19. I mean, and everybody is advertising packaging. You know, they just had this Dove Beauty study done and now they're talking about, which is very destructive because what we're looking at is women who are hypersexualized, hyper-perfected, everything is airbrushed, and we are sent a message that there is something wrong with that woman if she has a line on her forehead, if her boobies are not 36C, and if she doesn't look, and the man looks bad if he's bald, if he's this. I think this is all such a crock of crap, I cannot tell you. But it really takes a strong person to get up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm not going to buy this pablum that I'm fed, and I'm not going to buy the SUV because you're telling me, and I'm not going to buy a Mini Cooper because you're telling me, and I'm not going to be somebody standing out online outside of Apple waiting for the brand new Apple, you know, 25th generation of the whatever, when I just bought the 24th generation 6 months ago.
Right. But there are, there is a lot of messaging out there that we have to take in. And, you know, when I look at what is the message today of the breadwinner mom, I think it's the mom who steps up and does what she needs to do. I don't know. And we were talking before you came on. We were talking about the movie A League of Their Own. What happens when the economy turns around, when the predominantly male-dominated jobs in manufacturing and construction come back? Is the Women's Professional Baseball League going to be retired? Are the women that are in the workforce going to be replaced? Are the men going to take the jobs with the higher wages that then readjust the relationship that in a certain way economically put women back in their traditional roles? Because I don't know if this is a trend or an aberration or just a one-off based upon the economy, but a lot of politicians are looking at this and they're looking at making very consequential decisions that might not necessarily stick when the economy turns back. And again, I think it's a combination of the women's movement, women's empowerment, the economy, women that are graduating at higher rates from colleges than men are. There's a lot here other than just the 40% of households that are breadwinner moms.
But I think that's a great point, Jerry. But I think also, you know, something you said struck me about the pendulum swinging. You know, a lot of it does have to do with women jumping more into the workforce in recession because men lost their jobs. I believe there should be economic parity, of course, that if you're doing the same job, you should get paid the same amount of money. There's no question about that. But I do think there is a pendulum swinging, too, that perhaps not only in terms of who's earning, but and what happens economically. economically and who's making, who's getting these jobs, but also mentally and emotionally. You know, now we are looking at more women in the workforce and women becoming more empowered, and perhaps men in the so-called wimp factor that you mentioned before. Perhaps that's just about we're still in a period of adjustment. You know, where you are uncomfortable with, well, what is my role now? And I think that there have been couples who are able to successfully negotiate that, and they figure it out for themselves, and the man does not feel emasculated and does not feel threatened because the woman is working. And they get past, and they find their own way to define what their relationship is. And I suspect that over time, if we would just breathe with it and say it's okay and stop sending these negative messages toward men that means, you know, just because the woman, it's like I said to you before, you get to be big, I get to be big. When you start sending this kind of a message, I think that the wimp factor or the bull, you know, ball buster factor, forgive me, goes away. And we start to see people who accept themselves for who they are. And I don't think, you know, government doesn't have to make a blanket policy that's going to affect everybody, but if you at least put something on the books that makes something available for the people who need it, that doesn't mean that the entire society is going to change, does it?
It is changing, and I think that that's healthy that it is changing. I mean, you know, we all, again, the traditional roles of men and women, husband, wife, father, mother, caretaker, those things change over time. And the traditional roles of men and women are changing over time. The problem I have is when the government tries to come into the rescue or adjust to it or come up with programs that are going to try to, you know, set in stone what the future is going to be when we don't really know what the present is. And that's one of the fears that I have, where government is going to ride to the rescue of these breadwinner moms, the single moms in particular, who are only making $23,000 a year as compared to the married moms that are making $80,000 a year. And they're already talking about how government is going to fill the role of the absentee spouse or the missing partner or the unavailable co-parent. And this is where we have to let be it and let it find its own level and let the traditional roles of men and women play themselves out to be what they are now, not the way government would like them to be.
Oh, I understand that. You know, Warren Buffett also had an article out saying that he's bullish on women because he said when you allow more women, not only into the workforce but into leadership roles, you move to a place of 100% productivity rather than 50% productivity. So I think that we also have to look at, it's possible that when he's making the same argument Hillary Clinton, your favorite and mine, made, by the way, because, you know, she has said this in the past. This is her argument overseas as Secretary of State in countries where making the moral argument to allow women to have health care and access to macro loans and to create business does not work. So she makes the economic argument. She says when women work, they invest in their community, and the community and the society and the economy grows as a whole. So that's another thing to factor in to this discussion, because when women are empowered, it is possible that then the government does not have to ride in as the nanny state.
I agree. Anita Finley, I got to get out. Great stuff as always. Check out her website, AnitaFinlay.com, and her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin. Thanks, Anita. We'll do it again.
Always a pleasure, Jerry. Thank you.
Stick with us. Right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.